Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number.
And by Graham's Biscuits. Your Graham's Biscuits from the refrigerator are now also available in the freezer, so you can make as many or as few as you need. You can enjoy the home-baked taste of Graham's Biscuits tonight.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been cloudy and rainy all week. There's about 1 hour of sunshine. It was on Wednesday. It was sort of like an impressionist painting put on display. The world was very pretty, and then the clouds moved in again and it rained, which really is a division between people in my town, those of us who love rain and people who love sunshine. Those of us who love rain like to sit out on the porch and hear it on the roof and even walk out without an umbrella and let the water trickle down the backs of our necks and just feel it all around. I don't know what we love about it. We just love the wildness somehow and the unpredictability. And maybe we love the fact that you're not supposed to love it, except anybody who comes from a farm town where people earn their living by what they get out of the ground. You cannot feel bad about the rain whenever it should fall. It was a busy week in Lake Wobegon. Mr. Berge sneezed 18 times in a row and drove his car right into the corn stubble and got stuck. It was a big thing. The new Aurora Borealis stamps came out at the post office, and Dorothy down at the Chatterbox Cafe came up with a brand new kind of molten chocolate raspberry cake, which was a big deal. And Clint and Eileen Bunsen are not speaking to each other for some reason. Pretty obvious to everybody, but we do not know why, and we do not care to know. It was homecoming last night at the football field, and the Lake Wobegon Leonards lost to the Millet Tigers 41-6. Homecoming with a dance afterwards, so you went and got your pants beat off you, and then you had to go and pretend to have a good time afterward. Mr. Magendance sent in a lot of plays, and the plays have not changed really so much over the years. There are all these screens and reverses and double reverses. And you only see about the first second and a half of the play when the Leonards are running it, and then you just see 11 men sort of lunging forward and falling on the ground. And that's about all there is to it. It was just a painful game to watch our young men going out there and getting beaten, the second stringers sitting on the bench waiting for their turn to go in and be thrown up against some vicious animal 3 feet away from you down in a three-point stance and saying terrible things about you, saying mean things about you, just waiting to paste you on as hard. And then you come off the field and the coach says, "What happened to you out there? You fall asleep out there? What? I send you in and you don't do anything." So you sit there in shame and humiliation for a while. The Peterson boy was the quarterback. Four fumbles, including two on the hike from center. So it was bad game. Halftime, the Leonards limped off the field, and onto the field about the same time came two convertibles with the Queen and her court. Four beautiful young women in silky gowns got out. The men staggered past them like veterans leaving a battle in World War I, smeared with mud and grass stains, and beautiful young women who did not look at them. The band got on the field and it marched. It played a tune. It was impossible to tell what tune this was. You listen to it hard. Parts of it, certain notes seemed familiar. They were marching in formation. They may have been forming a W, or it may have been the face of someone we used to know. So that's why I want to come down to North Carolina, come down where people expect their teams to win. We don't expect that back in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. Never did expect it. With a name like the Leonards, you wouldn't. People have suggested the name be changed to the Lions or the Bengals or something else, something vicious and ferocious. instead of the Leonards. They're named for an old coach, an old guy with clear plastic lenses on his frames on his glasses, some old scholarly coach, some gentle coach who used to run the single wing offense and hand out towels, and that was about all he did. Beloved. But would that really change who we are? We don't think so. We would like to think that our lack of success in football is due to our Christian principles. Jesus said, love your enemies. Didn't say cream them. Didn't say batter them into the ground. But it wouldn't change who we are. We are who we are, even if we call ourselves the Tigers or the Wolves or anything. We're still the Leonards, and everybody would know this about us, just as you could change the name of the town from Lake Wobegon to Pinecrest or Lake View, and it wouldn't make us anything other than who we are. We're dark people, and we love the rain, and as a result, we're kind of wet and kind of Wobegon. Arnold Voss was back for the homecoming game. He kind of sat off to the end of the bleachers. He was kind of by himself. He had come back from Minneapolis, where he is a big success. He works for the Water Exchange down in Minneapolis. Water is a major commodity in Minnesota, and 5, 7, 8 million gallons of water are traded every day on the Water Exchange. He's a broker. He came back to go turkey hunting with his dog, a hunting dog, but the dog turned out to have been raised on a farm on which there were turkeys. And so the dog was giving him bum steers, leading him off down into the thickets where the deer were, but it's not deer hunting season as yet. And Minnesota. Arnold was traipsing along, and he was thinking about coming back. He hadn't gotten anything yet. He was on the trail of this wily turkey, and then he saw it up ahead, and he raised the gun to his shoulder, and he was about to shoot, and the dog hit him from behind. The dog jumped up on him and threw him down, and the gun went off, and the turkey went off laughing to himself, and the dog pretended nothing was wrong. And then Arnold looked over, and the dog had brought, in his mouth, he had brought a catalog or a magazine of some kind with pictures of women in lingerie, translucent lingerie. The dog had carried this in his mouth. It had teeth marks in it and saliva on it. Arnold snatched it up from him, and because he was brought up not to litter, he put it under his jacket to take it back and to throw away in the trash. And he was hiking towards town, or where he thought town was, and then it suddenly dawned on him that if he were shot accidentally, they would find this on his body. They would find pictures of semi-naked young women with teeth marks and saliva in it. And people would jump to conclusions, of course. And his children, his lovely children, his beautiful wife, would have to deal with the knowledge that their husband, whom they thought to be an honorable and upright man, was a man who derived some kind of pleasure from looking at and chewing on pictures of semi-naked women. Well, he was stunned, overwhelmed by feelings about the impermanence of life, how fragile everything is. You can work all of your life to build something, and you have this beautiful house, and you have this lovely woman you're married to all these years, and you built a marriage, and you have 3 kids, and they're good kids. They're bright and they're funny, and they don't hate you or anything, and they're just moving on forward with their lives. And then to have their father die, and then to have this shame that he had this perversion he had to go out into the woods to satisfy. He sat down on a log, just grieving for this fragile world. Everything that we have is so delicate, could be blown away like dandelion fluff in just a moment by anybody. He was thinking about this, and then he heard rustling in the underbrush, and he thought it was somebody. And he reached under his jacket to pull out the magazine and to stuff it under the log. And evidently, the skunk who had come up behind him thought he was reaching for a gun. And this was an angry teenage skunk with a lot of grudges and animosity built up. And he turned and he emptied himself fresh onto Arnold. And Arnold just sort of lost consciousness for a moment. And when he came to, he was standing there. He'd stripped his clothes off him. And he was moving away from them as fast as possible in just his undershorts and his socks. He left the magazine there. If they found it there, let them make of it what they will. He took off, heading for town, but he didn't dare go to town. The dog didn't want to have anything to do with him. The dog was off in the woods somewhere. He was skulking down an old dry creek path, trying to hunker down, stay out of sight, darted across the county road. And then he thought, you know, when you're in trouble like this that you just can't explain, you don't want to head for the most distinguished family in town, do you? No, you do not. This is a time when you need a Norwegian bachelor farmer. This is a time when you want to meet somebody who's gotten really drunk in public sometimes, somebody who's done unexplainable, shameful things, knows what public humiliation is all about. He headed for Mr. Hoppy's house, and he saw that old house sitting there, this old saggy white frame, used to be white frame cottage sitting there, the porch falling off it, wrecks of old cars sitting up on blocks in the back, a sort of a museum of appliances back there. And he walked, he could see the car out there. Mr. Hoppy was at home. Well, Mr. Hoppy was at home. This was last Saturday afternoon, and Mr. Hoppy was listening to the radio. One of his secrets, his shameful secrets, he was listening to the opera on the radio. He would never want anybody to know this. He was listening to the Metropolitan Opera and their broadcast of Madame Butterfly. And Madame Butterfly was just about to die, and Mr. Hoppy was weeping for her, his favorite opera, his only opera, but his favorite opera, a woman betrayed by a man. Oh, he would have betrayed a woman if he'd known she'd sing this beautiful. La, da, da, dee, 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 listening to her voice, and then he heard footsteps on the porch outside. He felt ashamed. Somebody was just about to catch him. Listening to the opera, now he'd have to explain that to all of his friends at the sidetrack tap. He turned off the aria, and he heard a voice say, Hoppy, I need some clothes. Throw me out some clothes, Hoppy, please. Well, there was a moment, an ethical moment in a man's life, a man not known for ethics. He sat very still. He thought he could just lie there on the floor and not go answer the door. He was starting to get whiff of where this man had been. But great art elevates us. And so he did something he might not have done ordinarily. He grabbed a pair of coveralls and he grabbed a T-shirt out of the drawer. Not clean ones, but anyway, they'd work. Old ones. And he opened up the door and he said, back away. He said, back away. Mr. Boss did. He backed away. He said, the hose is over by the barn. Here's your clothes. Tossed them out there. That was Arnold Voss, who was sitting down at the end of the bleachers the other day. Nobody's sitting near him. Still a little faint aroma of wildlife about him. He sat there watching the team. He'd played on this team. He'd run those same plays, the same result. And he remembered how this felt to be a Leonard and to sit on the bench. And around behind you, crowds of your classmates moving, crowds of gangs of young men who are trying to be extravagantly cool and attract the attention of young women who are seriously underdressed for a fall evening, gangs of people circling, showing off for each other, paying no attention whatsoever to you and your suffering out there on the field. What you're going through is matters not to them. The world does not care, truly. This is a painful thing, but it's good to learn this when you're young. It's not about you at all. You are suffering, you're fearful, your leg hurts, you're about to go in and be humiliated all over again, playing in this losing game on your homecoming. And yet, it doesn't matter. Other people are going about their own business, and soon this will end for you. Soon this will be over, and you'll go on to better things. They could scarcely be any worse. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.
Support for this podcast comes from Grands Biscuits. Your Grands Biscuits from the refrigerator are now also available in the freezer, so you can make as many or as few as you need. You can enjoy the home-baked taste of Grands Biscuits tonight.